of what this was like. But a gate is designed to keep things out. But what does Jesus say? I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Meaning, we're going to bust down some gates, church. This is after Jesus died and rose, and then he sends his people to do this. My church is going to bust down the gates of hell. Does that sound defensive? You know, so often in the church, we get comfortable, and then we build up these walls, and we say, you know, let's just protect ourselves from the rest of the world and all these dirty people doing all these dirty things. That's not the picture we get. The picture we get is that we are to go and bust down these gates. Now, Scripture makes clear this is something we do in grace, in love. You know, we're not going with the Bible to hit people with it. We're going to serve, we're going to love and draw them, woo them to Jesus the way he did. But it's very offensive. We're supposed to move into dark places. Where are those dark places around you? Who are those people that are lost and stuck that you might need to go bust down some gates to reach them? It might start just by visiting them, by giving them a meal. I don't know. Start showing them the love of Christ, that maybe you can bust down some of these gates and help them be transferred into the kingdom of our beloved Son, of his beloved Son, Jesus. God's perfect plan is that between Jesus' first coming and second, he will work through his church to break into darkness, rescue the lost, save souls, and give abundant life to many. I love it. We are called to go. In the Great Commission, go make disciples, not sit and hope they come to your church. I've experienced this before. I've had a meeting with church leaders talking about this. I said, look at this, let's go. And the leader of the group's like, I'd rather stay in the valley. You know, I was looking at this, said, this is like us together charging this hill and we're going to take it for Jesus. Jesus is going with us and some of us are going to get killed along the way. It's a battle. He's like, I don't want to do that. I want to stay in the valley. Do we want to stay in the valley? Or are we willing to go as the gospel tells us? To go get uncomfortable. Again, you know, some of you are like, oh, next week is a serve day. I'm skipping it because it's uncomfortable. This weekend, some of our groups this week are going to do a prayer walk. And some, I think, are going to do it the next week or some between. Well, that might feel a little bit uncomfortable. I'm going to walk around with my spouse and pray or somebody in group. Well, guess what? That's part of this offensive nature. We move forward in prayer. Prayer really is the starting point to make a difference in our community because we are begging God. We're asking him to move. That's part of the battle. And sometimes that's uncomfortable. I mean, I could have a show of hands. Who here does not like praying in front of other people? A lot of it. There's some hands going up, right? It can be uncomfortable, absolutely. And part of our job at Common Ground is to make you uncomfortable. It really is that we want to go. We're willing to adjust and change and try some new things because God wants to do some amazing things. We are to be on the offense. You know, there's only two continents where the gospel is not, the church is not growing. North America, Europe. Everywhere else, the church is growing. But we have gotten really comfortable. We really have. Our seats are cushy, right? Our walls are nice. And so next week, we're not going to sit in those seats. We're going to go. And strategically, we've done this. Next month, we're going to be talking about heaven. And you have one of these on your seat, and there's more out there. And I encourage you, grab some more on the way out, invite somebody to this series. This is one of those series that people will go, I want to know what heaven's like. You know, do you think it's just us spiritually playing harps on a cloud? A lot of people have that picture. It's not that. It's way better than that. So come and bring somebody to this to hear what is it going to be like, and how can I know that I'm going to be there? We're doing all this on purpose because we are on the offense. So this excites me, and I start feeling a little bit of pressure. Maybe you do too when you hear this. You're like, oh, it's on us then to go do it. It's not. I mean, Jesus makes very clear. He says, go make disciples, and I'll go with you. The Holy Spirit's the power that changes hearts. Jesus is the power that will save people. We are just messengers, right? We are just his hands and feet. And so if we live in obedience, we're good. But if we live in obedience, he's going to do great things. He already is. In the Great Commission, it says go. What it really means is as you go. So it's saying you're already in places. That's why we have our map out here. And we want you to put your pin in where you live, work, and play in the hallway, just to get an idea of where we're at in the community. But for most of us, this isn't something we add to our schedule. This is something, we already have people around us. There's already places we're going where God wants to use us to reach them. There are some that are red apples ready to be picked. They're just waiting for you. I'm not kidding. There are some people that when you say, hey, come to this series, they'll be like, I've been waiting for that. Or maybe not this. You just start talking to them about Jesus. And they're going to have all kinds of questions. I've been waiting for somebody to bring this up. Who knows what God will do? But God desires to carry out his mission in and through us. Will we say yes? That's the question I end with. Will we say yes? Because God is going to work anyway, right? I mean, God is on the move. There are great things happening in other churches in town. There are great things happening here. My question is, are you going to be part of it and get to enjoy that? Or are you going to watch from the sideline? You know, this passage in Luke, look back at verse 23. He ends it with this uncomfortable sentence. It says, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. We don't like this verse. Because Jesus is very clearly saying, you're either with me or against me. There is no on the fence with Jesus. We're called to make a choice. Either we follow him or we don't. And if we follow him, then he says, and now, go help others follow me too. Now I want to use you to make a difference in the lives of others. As we close in worship, we're going to take communion. Next week, we're going to do this serve day, and then in the evening, we're going to come back here and we're going to worship. There's not going to be a sermon, so don't worry about that. We're going to come together, we're going to sing, we're going to share some stories of what God did that day, and that's going to be a lot of fun to celebrate God moving. But we're going to take communion. This is our time to remember that Jesus died on the cross and that he rose from the dead. We're going to do this until Jesus comes back and we have this meal with him in paradise together. But this is a time for you to remember what he did and to examine your heart. You know, Paul tells us, before you take the Lord's Supper, examine your heart. Is there any piece of you that's disobedient, that is willfully saying, I am not following you, Jesus, in this area? Repent of that, commit to change it, and then come take it. Is there a relationship that is broken because of you? Is there something you've done with a fellow believer that you need to reconcile that before you take communion? At least commit to do that. Maybe even text that person, hey, let's talk. And then come take the Lord's Supper, because unity among God's people is paramount. And then we take it as a celebration, remembering what he's done for us. I'm going to be up here, and if you need prayer, come talk to me. If you want to say yes to Jesus for the first time, come talk to me and then take the Lord's Supper. If you have not yet surrendered to Jesus as Lord, don't take it. Nobody's looking, right? Nobody's judging, but just don't take the Lord's Supper until you're ready to say yes to Jesus fully, and then you are free to take it. And if you need to get baptized, grab your card and fill that out. We're doing that in 2 weeks. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. I thank you for the adventure that it is to follow you. God, I thank you that following you is not boring. I thank you that you are not weak. I thank you for your meekness, and in your strength, you were willing to go to the cross. Jesus, as I read through the night you were betrayed, and you were praying, and you were asking the Father, if there's another way, let's do the other way. If there's another way, let this cup pass. And the Father told you back, no, this is the only way. The only way we can save souls is for you to die on the cross and rise from the dead, and you did it. And we thank you. Because of you, we have life, and we thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you. And we remember, as we take this cup, we remember your blood spilled for us. As we take this bread, we remember your body broken so we could be saved. And we can't wait for you to come back. Until then, use us for your glory, please. In Jesus' name, amen.